Hello and welcome to the One Uppers podcast, episode 32. This is Link Legend 2 here, and we haven't done an episode in about a month, roughly. But I've been lazy and sick, and I just didn't really feel like doing it. But we're here today, and with me today is the famous Duck Hunter 007, also known as the Arbiter at Triple Entente Radio Network. Is that right?
More or less. I think you should call this the UGOers show, though.
Oh.
Updating more with the times.
Well, we haven't merged with UGO yet, so maybe not.
When that day comes, just replace the show logo with this big blue orb.
I always think Yu-Gi-Oh when they spell the name out like that. I thought it was called Yugo.
Yu-Gi-Ho.
All right, I guess we'll just start out with what you've been playing, and I'll let you go first.
Damn it. I'm not prepared. I'm playing Audio Surf PC, which is really cool. It's basically you can put in any song file that you have, MP3, WAV, and it comes with the Orange Box soundtrack too. And it'll put it in, it'll analyze it, and in a few seconds it'll create a track out of it. And then you can pick which vehicle you want. Some have hint arrows, some just create certain colors. Some go at different speeds, there's different difficulties. And then once you start, there's basically, I'd say, 5 rows by 3 columns grid on the track. And you're riding along, and there's different colored blocks. There's blue, there's, you know, cool colors, like blue for the slow parts of the song. And those are worth less points. And then there's red and yellow ones during the faster, more upbeat parts of the song. And those are worth more points. And you match them up in clusters of 3 or more of the same color. And then there's little paint ones in the bumpers that you can go onto for, like, safe zone on the sides. And you basically try and get as much points as possible. And it gets to be really addicting because at the end there's leaderboards for the worldwide statistics of that difficulty level. And then you have just in your state statistics for that song. And no matter what song it is, as long as the ID3 tags, you know, the name and the artist and the album are correct, anybody who put in that song, their scores will come up with it too and what vehicle they used. And there's comment section for each song, so everybody has their own comments on there about how they did. And it gets to be really addicting, especially when each week they put up new songs for you to download and test out, and so that way you can discover new music that way. I don't know, I check in with Audiosurf at least once a week. It's only $10 on Steam.
Sometimes Steam gets all those discounts every once in a while. I heard it went to like $1.95 like a few months ago.
I wouldn't be that surprised. And I mean, even at the $10 price tag, even if there's no sale going on, it's still a great game. Everybody should pick it up. Give it a try. Peggle Knights. Lots and lots.
What did that come out for again?
Peggle Knights?
Yeah.
PC.
Yeah, that's why I don't know.
Oh. Well, I mean, they got Peggle, the original Peggle, on iPod, rather. Cell phones. Coming out on Xbox Live Arcade. I mean, Peggle's infecting everything, man. Peggle is.
And we'll be on the Wii and the DS.
Have you
probably
played Peggle?
PS2. No.
You need to play Peggle. It's the most addicting thing in the world. It's like pachinko and pinball combined. It's addicting. It's, you know, I got 810,000 points on one level the other day, and I can die happy.
No, I barely remember what Peggle was, so.
Yeah, there's a free version online on PopCap. Go on PopCap after this thing and go play Peggle, the free version. And you'll
right.
Be hooked.
Okay.
Burnout Paradise on 360. They just keep updating that. The free update came out the other day. It was like an 800 meg update. And,
did you get your Back to the Future card?
I didn't buy that yet. I want to. But, you know, I didn't play this for about a year. Like, the last time I played was April 08, and then I started craving Burnout again. At that time I had rented it, so I picked up a used copy, and there is still stuff that I did not do in that game. There's still stuff I did not find. The bikes, the motorcycles, there's events for that. Those are great to ride. It is an amazing game, and it's still beautiful, and online is still great. People are still playing that nonstop. You can hop online into an online any time of the day. That's pretty much Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts.
Oh, how are you liking that?
Never before have I both loved a game and hated it at the same time. It's amazing. Banjo-Kazooie, it looks beautiful. It plays great. Some of the missions are really fun. They're really great. The vehicle creator, at first I thought, this could be kind of complicated. When you get into it, you're just like, oh my god, how am I going to figure this out? But then you just start off with really simple vehicles, and then you can start to like find different parts around the town, which is where you can do platforming around the town to find different parts for your vehicles. But the other day, I was bored, and on a whim, I built a rocket ship, and I built, you know, just standing straight up, so that way it just shot straight up. And then I added a detacher onto it, so that way a little pod comes out, and then I can just have folding wings come out, and so now I can just fly around in the little pod and ditch the heavy body on the bottom. A lot of it, though, there's a lot of problems. There's a lot of gameplay problems, a lot of mechanics. First off, there's no platforming pretty much anywhere except for around the town just to find parts for your vehicles. And there is an arcade game. Klungo has an arcade game, Hero Klungo Saves the World. And it is, basically, it's like I Want to Be the Guy, only easier. It's a really hard platform. It's just the screen is pushing you, so all you can do is jump. And one stage is just like the bad guys, and then the steps, and then the platforms, and then it combines all of them, and then the boss. I don't know. I got a kick out of that. But I don't know. For $40, it's a great game. I think everybody should give it a try. I think everybody should pick it up. It's not as great as Banjo-Kazooie or Banjo-Tooie, though, and if you come into it with those expectations, you're going to have your heart broken. It's still got the humor, though. I'll give it that.
Did you get the free Xbox Live Arcade version of Banjo-Kazooie?
No, I didn't. I had to buy it. But yeah, I do have it.
Of course.
I'm a Banjo-Kazooie fan.
Did the port go over okay, or is there any kind of problems technically over
there?
That's better?
Like, picking up the 360 controller, I could figure out, without having to do the tutorials or anything, how it works. It just feels right with two sticks and the triggers, unlike on the N64, where it's like, hold down Z and R and C right to do the talent trot or whatever. Here it's just, all right, right trigger, left trigger, boom, you got it.
All right. Does the graphics look cleaned up and slightly improved? Kind of like how 64 games look on Virtual Console?
You know, honestly, I wouldn't know unless I actually went back to the N64 version.
Oh, okay.
It's not like there's no jagged edges anywhere. It felt like the N64 version, and honestly, I played for like 2 hours straight before I realized, wait a minute, I'm playing this on a 360, and at any time I can just bring up the dashboard and talk to my friends. Like, I felt like I was back in that little room by myself as a kid, just playing this nonstop. I love Banjo-Kazooie.
All right, I guess I'll just move into what I've been playing. And I've been playing mostly two games, and I haven't been playing them too heavily. The first one I picked up a couple weeks ago, through the GameStop's buy two used games, get one free deal. And it's a Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz for Wii. Now, I really like the I really like Super Monkey Ball 1 and 2 on GameCube. I really love those games. I mean, the single player was pretty good, and the mini games were just, like, fucking fantastic. One of the best multiplayer experiences I had on GameCube. And even though Banana Blitz got, like, mixed reviews, I was just like, I had to pick this up eventually anyway. And the controls are, I don't really know how to describe it. They work sometimes, and, I mean, they work okay, but
like
the Super Monkey Ball is so, you have to be so precise on some of these stages that it just comes unreliable, and you just kind of go, well, fuck it. Even especially during the beginning stages, dude, I mean.
Where it's supposed to be easier?
I know. I mean, if he had an analog stick, this shit would be baby easy. With the motion controller, it's hard as shit.
That first, you know, basic level where the goal is right in front of you. It's like, fuck!
They did make you, allow you to, like, jump now, and that kind of helps you slow down. Because one of the problems with the motion controller is sometimes you just go too fast and you can't stop. So I found out that jumping kind of helps me keep control and not fall off as much. But they did do a pretty good job with the mini games. There's like a whole lot of them. I mean, there's practically for everything. You got racing, golf, fencing, all this crap. They're not as deep or detailed as some of the mini games in the other ones. Cause like golf and Super Monkey Ball 2, they had like at least 18 holes. Now there's only like, I don't know, maybe 9.
I remember golf and Super Monkey Ball 2 was addicting. That and pool.
But some of the mini games just suck ass. Like frisbee golf. I mean, it's basically like golf, but you just throw a frisbee and try to hit this little target far away. And they have these little trees in some of the holes. And if you hit your frisbee, you're never gonna get past that fucking tree before they allow you. I mean, before they just kick you off the course because you suck too much. Wasn't that fun? I mean, I read some of the reviews, and IGN said the controls are crappy at first, but once you get used to them, they're better than analog stick. I don't really believe that. So maybe that's just that one guy's point of view, and I guess he has broken thumbs.
I could barely do the hard levels with an analog stick. Like I remember, I had some Monkey Ball 1 and 2, and I had the GBA one that was basically Super
Monkey Ball 1. Junior.
Yeah, they basically took the GameCube version and put it on GBA, and that was great. But I don't know. I hear this, and I had a hard time with some of the later levels in Super Monkey Ball because the last few levels were hard as hell, and you had to keep retrying nonstop. And I just can't imagine this. I played Dewey's Adventure on the Wii, and that was hell in and of itself.
But it's not as bad as I thought it was gonna be because I've heard the controls being from okay to like shit, and it's kind of like in the middle of that. I mean, if you're a Monkey Ball fan, just for the mini games, it might be worth it. But
oh, that's a box quote.
I would have been pissed off if I bought it $50 new. But on to my next game is Dragon Ball Origins for DS, and it's kind of like the two past games on DS, Ninja Gaiden Dragon Sword and Phantom Hourglass. Because it's kind of like a little 3D adventure using the touchscreen. I mean, it's used for practically everything, punching, getting across the map, practically everything. The control is not as good as either two of those games, but it works out pretty fine. It's got some RPG elements to it, so Goku eventually strengthens up, so kind of gets that little, gives you a reason to keep looking for these little items to help you power up, I guess. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say something, but if I do, I'd rather... never mind. What I was going to say is every time you mention a Dragon Ball game or you say something about Dragon Ball, I just think Dragon Ball hentai.
God damn it. I thought we were going to get through one episode without even mentioning that word.
Anime.
But He also has a side, Goku can also have a sidekick in some of the missions. And so far I've only had to use Bulma, because it goes through the story from Dragon Ball, the beginning to the end of the first tournament, where Goku faces off against Jackie Chun, a.k.a. Master Roshi, under his little stupid disguise. But sometimes she just gets in the way. Like, she'll stay next to the enemy, and she has health, too. And she dies, the game's over. And I hadn't had her die on me yet, but I've kind of gotten scared sometimes, because she'll just stay, and you can't make her move at all. You can make her do a special, like, super attack if you touch her. She has enough, like, magic key or whatever,
ooh,
and she'll shoot him with a gun. But other than that, there's really no use for the sidekick little attachment so far. But what I like most about this game is they really have all these little cutscenes that bring in all the humor of the original Dragon Ball series. And they didn't censor anything, I don't think. Because when it aired on Cartoon Network, they like censored out a lot of shit, like Goku's taking Bulma's panties off out of curiosity, and then
Wait. You didn't want to get into the hentai topic, but now we're talking about...
Well, they don't show anything. I mean, they don't show her privates or anything. They just show Goku doing it. and you assume what happened. But they also show
she
goes on the beach. And Mr. Oshii asks to see her underwear, and she's wearing this kind of like pajama dress or something, and then she pulls it up, and then she shows him her vagina.
Well, let me
she
tell
doesn't
you how
know
everything
it.
Works down here.
So she goes back to her house, and she finds her underwear on the bed that Goku left, and she's like, oh my god, what the hell happened? He's like, oh my god, I didn't show him everything, did I? And then Goku admits took her underwear off, and then she shoots him in the head with a gun. So all that little humor is still there. But it's a pretty good game for a Dragon Ball fan. I mean, if they made two more, try to get the whole series together in this little pretty good adventure game, I'd probably buy it again. But if you're not a Dragon Ball fan, I wouldn't recommend it. Got any questions?
About Dragon Ball?
Yeah.
As soon as you said Dragon Ball Oregon,
We're going to play with Goku's heart and his liver.
I was thinking about different kind of organs, but anything else you've been playing there?
You probably get excited every time you see, like, when they show Goku's childhood anatomy on the show. And I was like, how the hell does it get past the censors? Watch the uncensored version. They'll show his dick sometimes. I'm like, what the hell? Seriously.
And all of a sudden, all the faces kind of went into that split screen sort of thing where they're just like, big wide eyes and all surprised.
Well, that kind of wraps it up for what you've been playing. And when we get back, we'll start with news. So stick with us. Hello and welcome back. This is going to be our news segment for episode 32. Duck Hunter is still with us. And I guess we'll just start it up with Virtual Console releases of the week. Last week we had Sonic Chaos for the Master System. It was just kind of, they did it for Game Gear 2, and it was not really that great, in my opinion. And today they put out Wolf of the Battlefield Mercs, and that's not as well known, but it's supposed to be a pretty good title from it's like a run and gun shooter from Capcom. I had no idea what it was until somebody told me. But I really have no interest in these games. Do you?
No. It's just like every week is just more and more depressing for the Virtual Console. After Super Mario RPG got released, everybody just kind of, you know, laid back. And now some people are just like, okay, well, where's Super Smash Brothers?
Well, it did come out in Japan last month. So
yeah.
It takes about a month or two for it to transition over here. Because for some reason they're stupid. And then WiiWare fucked everything up, so now we're only getting one game a week, like forever. There was a point where they kept giving us one game a week, and then they started doing two, and then WiiWare came out, and they were just like, whatever, we want these titles to sell too.
My Aquarium. It's a screensaver for your Wii.
Alright, next up, The Sims 3 is now coming out on June 2nd, and I have no idea that they were making The Sims 3 until I looked up this news story. Did you?
Oh, yeah, I know. It was on the cover of GFW.
Oh, yeah, it was on the cover of GFW.
Bird is still
when did that magazine fold? Like,
that folded in, like, June 08, somewhere around then. I don't know. I remember The Sims 3 being one of the last GFW covers.
CGW. That's even worse. That's probably like, maybe like 2005, 2006, something like that.
I think it went over from CGW to GFW, like, late 2007. And I think GFW closed around summer 08.
I still remember they tried to do the whole online, kind of, it was going to be the GFW online shit.
And then they weren't feeling
they
that.
They just didn't give a fuck.
And then the important players left.
You know what that's called? 1UP.com/PC. That's what it's called.
I mean, after Sean Malloy leaves and then Jeff Green and then Sean Elliott, they didn't really have that much left.
But, I guess next up, EA pledges half of their 2009 titles to Wii, and this they didn't really reveal that much. I mean, they just said a lot of our titles are going to be out for Wii. But they did announce a Dead Space spinoff / port for Wii. And that's kind of surprising. And maybe bad, or maybe good. You never know. Dead Rising Chop Team Drop looks promising.
Dead Rising can't handle more than, 10 zombies on screen at one time? Poor Dead Space. It's a good game. It's a good IP. And EA just shot in the foot. I'm done.
Okay. Oh, you're going to like this one. Yuji Naka's has a upcoming Wii game. And you might have heard about it on What Up Yours or ETM Live or whatever. And the point of the game is to put the Wiimote on a cardboard box and tap it to play the game. And it's officially coming to the U.S. soon. So if you really want to play the fucking weirdest game ever, you'll have your chance.
Okay. The Wii is innovative.
That would be a good in-store demo. You think Donkey Konga or playing Guitar Hero in front of a bunch of people is embarrassing? That's going to be even worse.
Yeah, but you know somebody's going to buy it. And they're going to buy it intentionally, knowing full well what they just bought.
That's true. They should really just put this out for WiiWare or something. Somebody's got to have a cardboard box in their house or something.
Some guys just did a circle high as hell. Got the TV set up, they got the Wiimote on a cardboard box. Touch the box, man.
Or when you buy the game on WiiWare, you'll put in your address and they'll send you a free cardboard box.
And then they charge your credit card $10 for the cardboard box.
Rockstar announces Red Dead Redemption, which is going to be a sequel to the Red Dead Revolver game on PS2 and Xbox. And it's surprisingly coming out for PS3 and Xbox 360. Woohoo. It looks a lot like the original, from what we can tell. Just better graphics and whatever. Did you play the first one?
Nope.
We're so talkative today, aren't we?
We can go into hentai, man. I can get Google up.
Okay.
Google Images.
PSN owners, this month of your core little pack, if you buy it, the September issue of core, whatever the hell they call that thing, you'll get the PS1 classic Siphon Filter. So if anybody wanted to relive that classic, all you have to pay is like $7.99 for a crappy little PlayStation Underground kind of experience, and you'll get it.
Well,
you ever play Siphon Filter?
Yeah, I did, and it was a really good game. But, like, what do they charge for PS1 games now? Like, maybe $5?
Yeah.
So, if you're paying $8, then you get what that stupid TV show, Core, whatever. And, I don't know, because doesn't it come with other demos and stuff?
Yeah, it comes with demos and shit like that.
Yeah, well, then I don't see it as being, you know, that much more expensive than Siphon Filter. But, I mean, if you're doing it just for Siphon Filter, you just buy the $5 version.
Or if you just can't get enough Core, you'll get a freebie. I wonder how many people actually like Core. Anybody? Do you ever try it?
People like paying for advertising in Xbox land.
Another digital download service news. Taito revealed the Bubble Bobble remake for WiiWare. It's going to be the remake of the old arcade game with new graphics, redrawn levels, stuff like that. You excited for the Bubble Bobble remake?
I love Bubble Bobble. I wouldn't pay money for it, but I love Bubble Bobble.
You wouldn't
Bobble.
Pay money for something you love?
Not when I can get it for free on my iPod. There's so many Bubble Bobble remakes out there. And then there was that Snood thing that they tried to get you to pay for.
The what?
The Snood.
Snood?
Snood? You never saw Snood?
No.
It was a Bubble Bobble ripoff, and it, like, copied exact level layouts from Bubble Bobble. And the guy expected you to pay for it. And then it got so popular, they came up with, like, Snood GBA and Snood DS.
Wow. Maybe you'll be excited for this one you can't get on your iPod. Coming out for Xbox Live Arcade this summer is going to be a new Warriors game. It kind of looks like a Final Fight, Double Dragon kind of game with 3D graphics and the Warriors kind of characters all around there. I never really watched the movie or played the PS2 Xbox game, so I don't really care. Do you?
Warriors, come out and play. It's a good movie.
But I think that the Xbox version actually did okay in sales and stuff, and it got good reviews, so I don't know.
A Japanese Metroid site has teased a new Metroid game, or so they think. All they said is another side story, and it might actually be a DS game, or it might just be some weird Japanese media project, like a stupid animated Flash video or something. I don't know. But would you be excited for a new Metroid spinoff, or are you just tired of the series?
No, I love Metroid. I mean, Metroid Prime, I'm excited to see what they do after that. I would try Metroid Prime, the remake that they're doing on the Wii, but the Metroid Dread project, that 2D DS game, I love Metroid Fusion, Metroid Zero Mission, those were great games, and I've been hoping for a 2D Metroid for quite some time now, so this will get my hopes up.
Probably. And that wraps it up for news, and when we get back, we'll do community, so stick with us. Hello, welcome back. We are here with the community segment, and we don't really have that much this week, but we have something good at the end, so wait for that. We only have 3 threads this week because most of these threads sucked anyway. So, first one up is Crispy4001 made a thread about the first footage of Metroid Prime 1 with Wii controls. Now, this is just like a regular news thread. It's just video of Metroid Prime, the Wii GameCube to Wii port of the Metroid Prime 1. And it turned into a big flame war over the whole line of GC Classics on Wii, and people arguing over Prime controls about them sucking on Wii and sucking on GameCube and stuff like that. So what do you feel about the Nintendo re-releasing all these GameCube games on Wii? Do you think it's a bad move? I mean, it's kind of like a shitty move, charging $30 for games you could pick up for $8.
Well, Mario Power Tennis, that one that they're doing, is the Mario Tennis Wii that people want. Like, if you didn't play Mario Power Tennis, Mario Power Tennis was a great game. I don't think it was a best-seller title, or so they say it on the box there, but I mean, that is the Mario Tennis Wii that people would be looking for. And I mean, for $30, I would consider that. I would consider Metroid Prime Wii as well, because Metroid Prime 3, it got the controls down pat. The controls were amazing. But Metroid Prime 1 suffered from, you know, too much backtracking to me, and Metroid Prime 2 just sucked. Metroid Prime 2 was great. I hated Light World and Dark World in Metroid Prime 2. That was retarded.
Yeah, I got about like 4 or 5 hours into Prime 2, and I just fucking quit because I didn't care. It felt too much like the first one, just worse. Kind of like they tried to make a bad copy of A Link to the Past.
Yeah.
Like everything all the design choices kind of like had no soul, no creativity at all. I just had no motivation to keep playing.
In, like, 3, it had people, it had characters, even though the characters weren't exactly great and the storyline wasn't exactly something to write home about, it was still a great game, and it, you know, fixed a lot of the problems that Metroid Prime 1 and 2 had. So I'm not exactly tempted to go back and pick up Metroid Prime Wii now that I think about it, but I would still check it out. I'd still give it a shot. All right,
next up, Feastful Saint made a thread called, "Is it just me or does Chrono Trigger for the DS?" And stops off right there, but he makes a point trying to say, why would Square remake Final Fantasy 3 and 4 on DS but not Chrono Trigger, since it's really more of an enhanced port than a remake like the Final Fantasies were? Do you really care, or do you think it was a fine move? Because I like 2D sprites more than ugly 3D graphics.
I don't really care. I mean, I didn't play 4. I have Final Fantasy 3. I still haven't gotten past the intro sequence in Chrono Trigger. So, I mean, It's not that big of a deal to me. Three, I didn't really like the 3D that much. I didn't think it really added anything. Like you said, 2D gets the job done. But not for $40 frickin' dollars.
Alright. Games Revisited made a thread called Games Based on Books. And when you think about games based on books, you kind of ain't, well, maybe the Lord of Rings Lord of Rings games, because that was based on a movie, based on a book, whatever.
I saw that thread, and, like, after the first few quotes, the first few posts, rather, are just like, yeah, no, or just shooting down the thread entirely, I kind of tuned out from it. And now I think about it, like, there's not that much out there. I mean, you could say that Bioshock kind of picked up off the ideas of Atlas Shrugged, but it's not like a full-blown, you know, book to game.
Yeah. Somebody said World of Warcraft was inspired by Lord of the Rings and the Dragonlance books. And then somebody brought up Dinotopia, which is a really bad GameCube game based on some book. There's the obvious one like Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six. And a really surprising one, Parasite Eve, which I didn't know was a book at all, the PlayStation game. Did you ever play it?
No, I didn't. But I mean, you say that, and like I think, well, a lot of people don't know that Tomb Raider movies are from the Tomb Raider video game.
Well, maybe not.
Well, they're not based exactly on the video game, but, you know, that's where they get the character and the inspiration from.
But our next thread is a one-up fan fiction, and we all know how fun fan fictions are. They're so written by such intelligent people and so entertaining. So I'm going to let Duck Hunter read it.
This isn't exactly new, by the way. This is from November of 08. But he has edited it recently, and we have just been looking at it back and forth. And am I reading this by myself? Do we assign parts, or?
I don't know. There's so many fucking people in this thing.
I could be the narrator, and you could be the characters.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Alright, we're going to start Never with a 3 instead of an E at the first E. His lovely story.
Another day at the one-up offices. Dot, dot, dot. And Shane's chip is on the fritz again. When he wandered in this morning, clutching his homemade Luke Smith doll and muttering, "A hero is no one without his villain. A hero is no one without his villain." I knew it was going to be a rough day. Last time Sony's little remote control went wonky, he spent a solid week anthropomorphizing PS3 DualShock controller so that, in his words, it could, quote, wreak havoc upon a population too foolish to recognize Sony's superiority and too delicious not to be eaten. So, fearing endless hours of Shane repeatedly thrusting his little demigod into my neck while stimulating gnawing sounds, I phoned Garnet.
Yes?
There's way too many E's and A's in there for you to just say it that short. Came Garnet.
Yes?
There we go. Came Garnet's voice, a vapid purr of machismo. Hey, Garnet, I'm not a woman. This might seem like
that's
an
my
obvious...
part. Same quote.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
Hey, Garnet, I'm not a woman.
I'm not a woman. This might seem a little odd way to begin a conversation, but it was pretty much standard practice when calling Garnet. If you were foolish enough not to do so, the subsequent conversation would be drenched in creepy innuendo, made all the more creepy if you happen to be male.
Oh.
In the disappointed response.
Then what do you want? I think Shane's clip is acting up again. Thought you might want a warning.
A great sigh sounded over the receiver.
Why are you bugging me about talking to Milky or that English dude?
This was actually a valid point, because I had good reasons for bugging Garnet. One, I wasn't sure the English dude existed. Two, Milky always seemed to headbutt me. And three, you could almost always get Garnet to do something by uttering just a few simple words.
Because, Garnet.
I paused for dramatic effect, and fuck you, Never, for doing this.
It's your goddamn show.
Silence. In my mind, I pictured the fierce struggle taking place within Garnet as his fledgling common sense fought a tiny war against his overblown ego. The outcome, of course, was inevitable.
Hell yes, my goddamn show. Where's Shane?
Star, 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 star. When we reached Shane's desk, the situation had escalated. By means, I am sure, both malicious and violent, Shane had managed to gather a whole horde of PS3 controllers to his desk. Displayed across his workplace in a fearful symmetry of chaos, each controller bore signs of Shane's mad tampering. Pipe cleaner limbs struck out at odd angles, eyes etched into black plastic glared balefully, and white Play-Doh fangs glistened with an unearthly sheen. Play-Doh shiny? Obviously, Shane's ambitions were growing as his neural pathways were continually flayed by the misfirings of Sony-branded chip in his skull.
Shane,
yelled Garnet, an uncommon tenor of authority in his voice that left me suitably unimpressed. Shane gave no response to the command for attention, his twitching eyes remaining fixed on the loathsome creations in front of him while he cooed gently. After contemplating the lack of respect for his authority, or possibly wondering about how insulted he should be at it, Garnet inclined his head toward me and asked,
"How do we fix it this time?"
No.
What?
The quote is,
How did we fix it this time? This last time, damn it!
There we go. Good job. See, we're talking the past tense, not the present. English 101 for you. My response was as immediate as it was inaccurate.
You hit him in the head as hard as you could.
With only a curt nod that indicated how much sense this approach made to him, Garnet strode up to Shane and delivered a solid right hook to his fuzzy cranium.
Gah!
Greeted Shane, reeling back in his chair. Clapping a pale hand to his freshly bruised head, Shane glared up at Garnet, his pupils dilating with alarming rapidity. For a few moments, he simply stared at Garnet while taking great gulping breaths, but then one hand shot out to grasp one of the controllers on his desk. With a small snort of victory, Shane told a firm hold on both of the controller's black plastic nubs and began a series of downward thrust motions from midair. I'm sorry, but some of the words in here are words from this guy. Garnet and I observed this arcane display for a solid 3 minutes before Garnet posed the obvious question.
What the hell is he doing? I think he's trying to make you bow before him by means of six axis motion control. Wow, that's pretty batshit crazy. Yeah.
We stood there, Garnet and I, for 10 more minutes watching before Shane began to exhibit signs of consternation. 5 minutes after that, a definite frown was on his face. And 5 minutes after that, he slammed the controller back on his desk and was realigning its various pipe cleaner limbs in hopes, I believe, that doing so would increase its Garnet controlling potency.
Obviously,
Garnet intoned.
More extreme measures must be taken, obviously.
And with that, we both walked away from Shane's desk, our minds thoroughly occupied with how we might save our beloved coworker from his Sony-inspired madness. Now, this next part, he just wrote a couple weeks ago when the 1UP UGO thing happened. To Garnet's mind, extreme measures meant gathering a bunch of 1UP employees and yelling madly at them for about a half hour. I suppose most of these gathered were used to this behavior. I know I was, because by the end of it, they'd managed to cobble together some understanding of the situation. Anthony, lounging happily in a slightly beleaguered chair, was the first to respond.
Did you try hitting him?
With a sigh, he put the entirety of his body into. Garnet replied,
Yes, I said I did.
But
did you really hit him?
Anthony's narrowed eyes spoke volumes, especially the volume entitled, Garnet Lee Hits Like a Huge Sissy. Garnet's only response was to throw his hands in the air and began massaging his temples. Turning to me, Anthony arched an inquisitive eyebrow.
Somewhere between a... What the hell's that word?
Dutiful.
Dutiful pimp slap and a solid jab from an arthritic...
It's somewhere between a dutiful pimp slap and a solid jab from an arthritic...
Arthritic boxer.
That's not a word. Arthritic is not a word. Garnet's eyes flashed up at me.
You said it was a solid right hook.
Now it was my turn to sigh.
Garnet, how many walls does this room have?
With great reluctance and not a little anger, Garnet replied.
4. Yes, let's keep it that way, unless you end up an elf-eared LARPer or some such.
Glances, some more confused than others, bounced around the room after this odd exchange, but things quickly died down, and Garnet reestablished the conversation's momentum with a painfully phlegm-filled clearing of his throat. Dot, 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 dot. And then, in the middle of it all, UGO walked in and chopped everyone's head off.
Sigh. The end. Wasn't that lovely? Let's thank Never. Go to his page and thank him with personal messages. About 50 of them. That would do nicely.
Six axes.
Asses.
Six axes. Six axes.
My mouth is starting to give out. That's what she said.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, if you scroll down the thread a little, you see a reply from Shane from.
Oh my God.
From December 16th, that is just in all caps. Oh my God.
That kind of wraps it up for community. You can always catch this show on iTunes. Go to the iTunes Mint store, search One Uppers Podcast, you'll find it. Thank you, Duck Hunter, for coming on.
Wait. There's
what?
Something we forgot. One last thing.
We'll save it.
Well, it's just Marine.
Don't worry, we'll save it.
It's just Marine the Raccoon.
It's Mission, not Marine.
No, her name is Marine.
It is Marine? Oh, fuck.
It's Marine.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Vision would have been funnier, but it's Marine.
Where am I getting Mission from? I swear to God it was Mission. Whatever. If you ever want to come on the show, just contact me. All you need is a phone, blah, blah, blah. And we are Ghost. I'm a copycat because I like one of yours. The end.
Listen up, bitch.